I too want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered together again to worship the Lord together. It's always a challenge to know what to preach on. I always go through a week trying to think about, Lord, what do you want me to preach on this morning? And somehow I always feel the Lord should just tell me, but he doesn't. But normally I get an inspiration. And normally my inspiration comes from practical things. Did you ever feel like someone's watching you? Did you ever just get this uncanny feeling that if you turn around, somebody's watching? Or if you've done something you think, and it was a mistake, you think, I sure hope no one's seen it. This past week, we've been working with a homeowner that loves to watch us. He'll just stand there and he won't say a word. He'll just watch. Not for 1 hour, not for 2 hours, but for 8 hours solid. He'll just stand there and watch. And sometimes you think, good, he's gone. I can work. And all of a sudden you look over there and there he stands. He's over at the neighbor's house watching. He's in the shade. You didn't know it, but he's watching. And all of a sudden he's not there and you think, and I wonder where he is. And all of a sudden he's over here on a hill. See, he's out of the road, but he's watching. And Friday when I left the job, I was like, oh, I'm just so glad nobody's watching me. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what? But my Heavenly Father is watching me. It doesn't matter where I go, God is watching me. And I began to think about those thoughts. And this morning I chose the title of Eyes That See God. I'm going to think about eyes this morning because my eyes are a wonderful thing. The psalmist says, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you ever thank God for your eyes? You only have two eyes. Two eyes. And I don't know if I've ever really thanked God for my eyes. It's just something we take for granted. I suppose if I was blind or I got an eye gouged out, I would begin to really thank God for the one eye that I do have. But I have two good eyes. I can see pretty decent with my eyes. I can take my glasses off and I can still see. Most of you here don't even have glasses on, but occasionally we need glasses to correct our eyesight. But we take our eyes for granted. You can see me, I can see you. I can see your expressions. Our eyes speak. I'd like to look at some eye facts this morning. Just do some science about eyes. It's very interesting that our eyes are the same when our eyes, okay, let me start over. When we're born, our eyes are as big as they ever will be. When you were newborn, that's the size of your eyes that they are today. Your eyes do not grow. That was a new thought to me. Somehow you just tend to think that everything else grows. Our ears grow, our nose grows, but our eyes do not grow. We are born with our eyes. They say our eyes begin to develop within 2 weeks of conception. It's one of the first things that begin to form is our eyes. The eye muscle is one of the most active muscles in the body, composed of more than 2 million working parts. To think that all works together, and you don't even think about it. You look at me and I look at you, and we don't even think about how the muscles are moving back and forth. They say the eyes are the second most complex organ after the brain. Science says that 80% of our memory comes from what we see, comes through our eyes. So our eyes are extremely important. You begin to think about everything that you've ever seen in your lifetime, and that's what makes memories. They tell me that an eye cannot be transplanted. Doctors transplant all kinds of things, but they say that an eye cannot be transplanted, at least not yet. They say there's more than 1 million nerve fibers that connect each eye to the brain, and they have no way to put that all together. Now, I suppose they can try. They can put a camera. They can make a robot that looks like a human, and they can put their gadgets together, but they can't not replicate the eye. How many times do you think you blink a minute? Now, since you're thinking about it, you're starting to think about it, but they say you blink about 17 times a minute. At least if you're not thinking about it, you will. And that equals 4 million 200,000 times a year, that your eye will just sit there and just blink and keep it, you know, refresh and keeps your eye clean. We're talking about the eye. They say your eyelash, you don't even think about your eyelashes, but your eyelashes only last for 5 months, and your body keeps shedding them and keeps growing them. And if you were to take all the eyelashes that you ever lost in your lifetime, an average, it would equal 98 feet. So you would, I don't know if it's 98 feet from here to the back of the church, but you'd have enough of eyelashes to stretch them out that far. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Our God just formed our eyes that way, and we take them for granted. Each one of us have a unique eye. They come in different colors. They say that the eye has a fingerprint, or our fingers, there's 49 characteristics to a fingerprint, whereas an eye has 256 characteristics to it. It's a lot more intricate than our fingerprints. We each have our own special eye that our Father has made us with. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about our eyes, we take them for granted. Our heart should well up and say, thank you, Father. I'd heard said about this verse, that don't look for a miracle, because you are a miracle. God has made each one of us in its own special way. We just need to thank him for that. My eyes. We have two of them. Did you take time to observe nature? Did you observe nature Friday night? There was a spectacular event. I hope you've seen it. How many seen the blue moon? Not very good. You won't see another one for several years. They said it was a blue moon. Beautiful full moon came up. It wasn't blue, but they call it a blue moon because it only happens twice in a month. You don't rarely get two full moons in 1 month. But you could use your eyes. I stood there on the deck and I watched for that full moon to come up, and there it came. But I used my eyes. Can you imagine if I didn't have my eyesight? Someone would have to say, oh, it's beautiful, it's bright, it's coming up over the corn stalks. Look how it's highlighting the corn. But I could see it with my own eyes. Eyesight, we take it for granted. How about the blue sky? These past weeks, the sky's been so blue. Have you stopped and taken time to look at it? Flowers, beautiful cornfields. Do you look at it? Do you thank God for it? The mountains, nature. Think about the things that we see with our eyes. What about friends? You're here this morning. If you didn't have eyes, how would you know who your brother is beside you, your sister? How would someone describe what Brother Melvin Dean looks like to you? Or brother, put your name in there. Yeah, you could try to describe someone, but I can see you this morning. And I have this mental image. And then so when someone talks about Brother Titus, it just, his image comes right to my mind through my eyes that God has given to me. Memories. Remember, 80% of the memories that we have come from our eyes. We need to thank God for that. What about reading? We take it for granted. You opened a songbook up this morning and you sang a song. You followed along. At least I hope you did. Or when the devotional meditation, he said, turn to Acts, second chapter, whatever it was, you turned to the book of Acts. Why? Because you had eyes. You could read. Did you ever think about what it would be like to be blind? To sit there and hear people talk, but never be able to read it yourself. Memories. Our eyes give us memories. Never take it for granted. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Our eyes and our sight are frequently used in figures of speech in the Bible and in our modern terms. Take this phrase in Revelation. It says Jesus Christ, well, it says of Jesus Christ, for his eyes were like a fiery flame. His eyes weren't flaming fire, but it's a figure of speech. His eyes, it's descriptive. If someone's really mad and you say his eyes were sparking, you just kind of understand exactly what that means. Or we use phrases like this when our attention is attracted to something remarkable. You say, it was eye-catching. It got your attention, eye-catching. Or if you tell someone, watch it carefully, you'll say, keep your eyes peeled to it. Or if you're really good at your task, you'll say, he or she has an eye for it. They're good at it. Or if a teacher makes a point, you'll often hear, oh, I see now. Or if we don't plan ahead, we'll say we're short-sighted. Or if we do plan ahead, we say we're far-sighted. Or if we ignore an action, we say we just turn a blind eye. Or we'll just take a dim view of it. We just use these expressions all the time, and they help us understand what we're trying to say, but we're actually referring to our eyes. We use our physical eyes all the time. I said that. And we take them for granted so many times. But what about when you get some sawdust in it? As a contractor, that happens a lot. All of a sudden, you realize that your eyes are very, very sensitive. I remember years ago, I don't know, I was riding a bike. Might have been 12. And I got something in my eye, and it just could not come out. You couldn't see it, but you sure could feel it. And my eye watered and watered and watered. And I finally went to the eye doctor. And he couldn't find nothing. He had to look in the microscope and he said, oh, there it is. It was a little weed seed that got in my eye as I was riding bike. Terrible small. I had to use a microscope to see it. But my eye just irritated at something frightful. Psalm 17:8, the psalmist uses the apple of your eye. He says, God, keep me as the apple of your eye. You think about how much care you're going to keep your eyes. You're not going to jag anything into them. You're not going to stick your finger into your eye. You're not going to put dirt into your eye. You are very careful with your eyes. That's the way God views his people. That he cares so much about you. He cares so much about me. He protects us. He said, I'm not going to let any harm come to you. I'm going to keep you as the apple of your eye. Something that's very sensitive. How is your eyesight this morning? That was the first part I was thinking about, just simply eye facts. Second part I'd like to think about our spiritual eyesight. And I think that was the more important part this morning of thinking about our physical eyes, but in reality, how is our spiritual eyesight? How do we see God this morning with our eyes? You know, if you have normal eyesight, they call it 20/20 vision. That means you can see 20 feet in front of you like normal without any help aid you can read. They call that normal compared to, I guess, everybody else. But sometimes our eyes get infected. Sometimes our eyes get pasted shut. Sometimes we get what we call pink eye, and you have to get some drops to put it in there. And I'm thinking all of these relate to our spiritual condition. A perfect person. This morning I hope you have 20/20 vision, spiritual vision. I hope everything is right on. But occasionally we need help. Occasionally our eyesight isn't right. Sometimes we need corrective vision. Sometimes we need cataracts removed. How is your eyesight this morning? The scriptures talk a lot about the eyes. I'm sure you're probably thinking of verses now that talks about how we're supposed to use our eyes and what God wants to do with our eyes. I'd like to read several verses this morning, probably more than normal. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. It talks about what we take into our body through our eyes. Remember, 80% of what we see is what is our memories and how it will affect us. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shineth of a candle doth give thee light. What is your eye taking in this morning? What kind of spiritual condition is your eyes? Are you taking in light, or the opposite is darkness? The eye is a gate to our body, and it allows things to come in or to go out. It says something about us. It gives an indicator of what's happening in our heart. And the same way with our physical eyes. When you meet someone, when you see their eyes, it tells you something really quick. Eyes are an indicator of the heart. And so when you look at me, I can tell if you're either tired or if you were awake. I can tell by your eyes. I can tell if you're mad. I can tell if you're happy. Your eyes are an indicator of what's in your heart. And same way with the spiritual eyesight. What's in your heart is by what we take in with our eyes. It controls my life. You think about the light. If we fill our hearts with light, with good, our body will be full of it. But if we fill our eyes with darkness, there's no light there. It's all dark. There's no having both. Either our eyes are full of light, or either they're full of darkness. We like to fool ourselves into thinking that we can have one eye as seeing light, and the other is, well, we just kind of see whatever we want to see with it. We wouldn't want to say dark. But that's truly what it is. Either we're seeing dark or we're seeing light. We can't have both. So how is your spiritual eyes this morning? Are they full of light, or is there darkness there? How's your eyes? Are they bloodshot? If someone look at you, they say, you got a problem. You've been drinking a little too much. See, your eyes are an indicator of your body. They're also an indicator spiritually. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. It's another account of eyes. The Apostle Paul was a very dynamic person, but he had to have some eye surgery. In my terminology, he had an eye problem. It's a very familiar account, how the Lord met him on the way and stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And we know the story. He was a dynamic individual. He was out and he thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. And he says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 8 says, and when Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. He had an eye problem. He was blind. He could not see. We take our eyesight for granted so much, and all of a sudden, if you just woke this morning and you could not see, you would be terrified, or you would be startled, or you would be going to the emergency room or something. Here was the apostle, or at this point he wasn't an apostle yet, but Saul was, he had an eye problem. He could not see. Verse 9 says, he was 3 days without sight. He could not see. And what was the answer for his problem? Well, let's go to verse 18. We know how Ananias came to him. The Lord told him to go and pray for this man. And so he came to him. I guess we'll start with verse 17. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. He had cataracts, and the cataracts just fell from his eyes. It said like scales. My terminology is cataracts, but the Bible calls it scales. And all of a sudden, he could see. And it's just a beautiful picture of what the Lord can do in our heart. That when the Lord gets a hold of our eyes, he can take the scales off, and now we can see. The world's so full of people that can't see. They have cataracts. They can't see. They don't know where they're going. They're just stumbling around. But here we had a brother that came and prayed for him. And because of his prayer, the scales fell off his eyes, and he could see. We can't see with cataracts. Naturally speaking, the longer you have cataracts, the worse your vision gets. It grows and grows, and your sight gets dimmer and dimmer. The same way spiritually, when we have cataracts in our eyes, we have sin in our life, or we have things that we are hiding, our vision gets dimmer and dimmer. We begin to get confused. We begin to stumble around. Until Jesus cleanses our hearts, washes those cataracts out, and now we can see. And look at the transformation in this man's life. What did he do next? Verse 20. It says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." It's just an amazing story of a man that once he could see, once he had his vision, he knew where he was going, he went and preached Christ. Verse 22, "He increased more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ." Christ got a hold of his life, and he was on fire for the Lord. I'd like to look at another account of a blind man, Mark 8. Mark 8, verse 22, is another blind man that could not see. I don't know if he could not see his entire life, or maybe he was 20 years old and he was smote with a sickness and became blind. I have an idea that maybe he had seen at one point in his life. Mark 8, verse 22 says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking." Now, if he was blind for his whole life, how did he even know what a tree looked like? And how did he know what men were supposed to look like? That's what I kind of decided, that he must have had some sight at least one time. Or maybe someone really did a good job of describing it, that when he seen men, he said they looked like trees. I'm not sure. But he didn't have clear sight yet. He was almost there. But clear vision is so important. Part vision doesn't help. And so he was not totally healed yet. Verse 25, "And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly." Again, another beautiful picture of what Jesus can do on our eyes, on our spiritual lives, that he can help us see clear. It took a lot of faith for this man to believe that Jesus could heal his eyes. It takes a lot of faith in my heart and in my life that I would let Jesus heal my eyes, let Jesus do what he needs to do in my life. It takes faith. It's also a choice of mine to open my eyes. Maybe you're tired of me talking about the word eyes, but as I thought about seeing, I could stand up here and I could close my eyes, and I'm not going to see any of you. And you can close your eyes and you're not going to see me. And I thought, you know, it's a choice of mine that if I really want to see the Lord, I need to open my eyes. I need to want to. The Lord's not going to just open my eyes. He just didn't heal the blind man because the blind man thought it'd be nice. The blind man wanted to be healed. We need to open our eyes. The psalmist in 119 says, Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. open mine eyes. And that was my heart's thought as I was studying this, that the Lord would open our eyes to see life the way we need to see it. Open mine eyes, Lord. Should probably be my prayer every morning as I get up and as I face the day. Open mine eyes. Lord, open my eyes spiritually that I may see. Open my eyes in the everyday happenings or in our trials. You know, we face them every day. In our joys, the Lord is working behind the scenes. Are you seeing? Do we have our eyes open to what God is doing? Do you have your eyes open to the political world? Do you see God working behind the scenes? Or am I just focused on what's happening right in front of me? Open mine eyes, Lord. As you meditate on the scriptures, I think it should be our prayer that we would pray, Lord, open mine eyes, that I can see what the truths that you have for me. If we don't open our eyes, we're as good as a blind man. Just sitting there, reading the scriptures, just wondering, nothing's making sense. Maybe it's my choice. Maybe I don't want my eyes open. Open mine eyes. I have another interesting account of a man that needed his eyes opened. 2 Kings chapter 6. The account of Elisha, the great prophet at the town of Dothan. You know this story. It was they were facing a major crisis. Remember how he was surrounded by this foreign army that would come there, take him captive. And you have Elisha's servant going out in the morning, and he looks out and he sees this huge army, and he realizes this army wasn't here to say good morning. He realized the army wasn't here to just pay a nice social call. He realized the army was there because they meant business. And he panics. And he runs back in crying, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" Can you identify with that? You get up in the morning and everything's just fine. I'm sure this man got up in the morning and it was blue sky. We weren't calling for any rain, so everything was just pretty even, going to be a good day today. And just with a snap of a finger, everything changed. Outlook on life changed. Everything was just, went from a good day to a bad day, we would call it. We have the master's answer in verse 16. He answered, "Fear not." What a response. When the army is here to get you. I don't know how many thousand, I didn't look at that. But they came to get one man. And humanly speaking, it was very possible that an army can just get one man. They knew where he was. It was not a problem. But we have Elisha saying, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now that didn't mean anything to the servant, because all he could see was the army. It's right there with his human eyes. And so often it's the very things that's getting us down is what we're focused on. We see the army, we see our trials, we see the things facing us for the day. He got up that morning and his thought went from a beautiful day to I might die. And you know, none of us know what we're going to be faced today. Maybe there's a car accident that we could be faced with. Or maybe a heart attack. Or maybe a fire. I had to think of Muddy Creek's youth group. It was, 2 weeks ago? They went on a canoeing trip, and until they came back, one of their youth leader was gone, drowned. Did anybody think that was going to happen that day? Not at all. What kind of eyes do you need for that kind of a situation. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Again, a prayer of open your eyes. Lord, open mine eyes. Lord, open your eyes. Not that you can see the army, but that you can see the big picture. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That was not a surprise to Elisha. Elisha knew they were there all the time. Elisha wasn't even worried about this army because he knew God was on his side. He knew that God way outnumbered the army that was gathered to collect him. But his servant didn't. His servant only could see the army. Open your eyes. We need to see God in every day of the events that happen. And our prayer should be, Lord, open mine eyes. Help me understand what's taking place here. Lord, help me see your greatness in this situation. It seems so wrong. It seems so out of control. Lord, open mine eyes. Prayer replaces panic. And there are times in life, I think, when we panic. We become fearful. But we can see here how Elisha prayed a simple prayer, and it had a calming effect on his servant. Prayer opens our eyes. So in times of life when we feel like we're losing it, get down on your knees and say, Lord, open mine eyes to your greatness. Help me to see you. Prayer opens our eyes to spiritual reality. We need to get the big picture of what God is doing on our behalf, or what God is doing in the political world, or what God is doing in the world around us. But we're only going to see it if we want to. Or we can go throughout life focused on our task at hand, and we miss the big picture. Prayer also makes it human. Prayer makes possible what humanly thinking is impossible. You know how many times we say, oh, that's impossible, that'll never happen. Just don't take God out of the picture. Remember, God is more powerful than anything in this life. We talked about the prayer opens your eyes to new spiritual insights. It opened the servant's eyes. And Elisha's, I'm sure it was a great experience in Elisha's life to see God move in such a miraculous way. Not only did he open the servant's eyes, but then he prayed another prayer. He said, open this man's eyes and shut all your eyes. Smite this army with blindness. And God just did exactly that. And they were blind. Power of prayer. You go on in the account, and after a bit he prays, Lord, open their eyes again. And he opened the army's eyes, and there they were in enemy territory, and they were scared. Prayer opens our eyes to new spiritual insights. Powerful influence of prayer that we have at our fingertips, but we need to use it. Turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. It talks about opening our eyes, what God wants to do for us. Ephesians 1, we'll start at verse 15. It's a prayer here. It says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place, far above principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 18 talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It's a prayer that he was praying, that your eyes would be open to what God has for you. The eyes of the understanding being enlightened. Of God's exceeding greatness of his power to usward, which believe. God is so great. He's so big. He's so powerful. But do we see it? Do I see it in my life? How is your eyesight this morning? What kind of eyesight do you have spiritually? Maybe on the negative side, is your eyes sore this morning? Are they swollen? Are they infected? Are we a critical individual? You know how it's so easy to use our eyes, and I can look at you and I can say, that was so wrong. You just don't know how to do it. Why did you do it that way? Finding fault with people. Or maybe blind to my own faults and failures, and I can just pick them out in you so easily, and I can just expound on them. Are we critical? Are we fault-finding? Are we proud of ourselves? It's all things that our eyes do. And we do it so almost second nature. We can just, it just happens so easily. That's negative. What about your vision? If it's 2020, spiritually, are you looking for the good in other people? Your brothers, your sisters, are you looking at their life and you can say, thank you, brother, that was a wonderful thing you did. Thank you, sister. And yes, sisters, thank you for filling out all those food schedules. We have a wonderful group that just fills them out, and I did want to thank you for that. Can we see the good in people? Is our eyes seeing clearly of the issues at hand? Is our eyes open or closed? Can we see the issues at hand? Can we discern them? I'm talking about if we have 20/20 vision. Spiritually, are our eyes guarded at what they look at and the information that is taken in? Are we guarding our eyes? In Job, it says, I've made a covenant with mine eyes, a safeguard that would say, I won't look at that. I won't read that. We can't take things into our mind. We can't take darkness into our eyes and expect to have light. We need to have a covenant with our eyes. Good eyesight just don't happen. Just doesn't happen. You have to work at it. You have to feed it. You have to take care of your eyes. We talk about getting dirt in your eyes. You can't do that if you expect to have good eyesight. You have to maintain your vision. We've been talking about our eyes and how we see God. The third part I'd like to look at is God's eyes. God has eyes too. God is a little bit like my customer. He's watching all the time. Not critically. God is just watching. He sees it all. He's not even there watching me to find fault with me, but he's just seeing what is taking place. He sees if I do it right. He sees if I do it wrong. Not only can he see me, but he can see you. He can see all of us. He can see Brother Edwin in Bangladesh this morning, and he can see us sitting right here this morning. It's unbelievable. You don't know how to comprehend that. The all-seeing eyes of God. 2 Chronicles says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord know where his saints are. And it doesn't matter if you're on the other side of the world, earth, in China, or if you're here in America, God's eyes are searching you out. He's looking for his saints, and he knows where they are. Proverbs 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Another verse in Proverbs says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The eyes of the Lord. Kind of reminds me of, I worked for another client years ago, And he was a military man. He worked on airplanes. And he said he was working on an airplane that day that had, it was a surveillance style plane, and it had camera capabilities in it. And he said they love to play with the cameras because they can zero in on anybody, anywhere they want to. And he said he was looking at people sitting in at Perkins Restaurant right here in Chambersburg. And we thought that was funny until he left. It suddenly occurred to us that he could probably zero in where we were working too, and he could watch us. But that's our Heavenly Father. He knows right where you are. He can zero in on you, and he sees you. Not only does he see you, but he can discern what you're thinking. He can discern your thoughts. That's what Hebrews says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the... I'll try that again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's our Heavenly Father. He's not there out to get you. But he can get you. He can discern your thoughts. And that's a comforting thought to the believer, that God knows exactly what you're going through. His eyes are on you, and he knows what you're struggling with. He knows your thoughts. He knows exactly how hard you're trying to please him. He knows all that. It also brings terror to an unbeliever, that the Lord can also look into your heart and know exactly that you can't get away from God. No matter where you go, God knows where you are. Full understanding of your thoughts, full understanding of your motives, full understanding of your attitudes. God knows it all. He sees us all the time. He sees the books I read. He sees the pictures that I view on my mobile device. He sees the music that I listen to. He sees the trials I'm going through. He sees the conflicts that I'm in right now. He sees it all. God's eyes. In conclusion, I'd like to turn to a familiar verse in Psalm 139. It's a verse that I actually used in closing last Sunday. Of search me, O God, and know my heart. See, when God knows us all, when God sees us everywhere we go, God already knows. God already knows us. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. That's our Heavenly Father. He knows everything that we're going through. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He goes on to talk about, where can I go to get away from you? And the answer is, you can't go anywhere. You can go down low. You can go up high. The presence of God is with you. God's eyes are watching us the whole time. It doesn't matter where we are. God sees us. And that's such a comforting thought to his saints. He ends up in verse 23, and he says it again. It's like you're getting an IRS audit. And you know, if I get an audit, the faster I can get them out of there, the better. But it's like God is going to audit your life, and you say, Lord, audit my life, and while you're at it, here's the rest of the books. Don't only audit just this year. I want you just to audit everything. It's all open, Lord. You know everything about me. There's nothing to hide. The numbers are all right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. God's not going to leave us hanging, but he's going to lead us. But we have to have our eyes open. We have to see God. We have to want that. And he'll lead us in the way everlasting. Let's kneel for prayer.